I want to get rid of all my weaknesses. Guess what? That's not how you were made. You're going to have those weaknesses, but guess what? The Bible says, in the weaknesses, I place my grace upon it. Because I'm real weak in administration skills. I was like, I'm never going to be weak in administration. I'm going to take some skill classes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to increase this. But guess what? My administration skills still ain't increased. And that's why I need peace with other people. And a blessing to my life. Amen. Sometimes we try to increase in our flesh, but he says, no, I want you to increase in my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. The Bible says, in your weakness, that's when you get to see me.
Yes, sir.
And we say, we don't want the weakness. But he says, listen, unless you have weakness, you won't see me show up in you. You won't see that super abounding power that's going to hit you like a flood. And that's what we are here to celebrate today. No matter what you've been going through, no matter if you're waiting for something, no matter if you have a weakness even in your body, a weakness in your situations, guess what? God says, you know what? I'm going to handle that today. Amen? No matter what you're going through, I got somebody that's going to take care of. And his name is Jesus. Amen? He may work it through a person, but recognize where it comes from. He may make peace your strong administration, but guess what? That's because that's Jesus going through it. We need a worship person when we started this church, but he made it strong through Anthony and other people. And I'm telling you, let me tell you something. Embrace his grace.
Yeah.
Don't embrace your flesh and say, I'm going to be strong. No, no. Guess what? He's going to be strong through you.
Yeah.
He's going to be strong through you.
Come on, preacher.
He's still him that's strong. That song said, we are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Cause the Bible tells me. Ain't that good?
Yes, sir.
He loves me because his word says.
Come on.
I know when I was in school, I had a weakness in me. And it was called a learning disability. That's what they said it was. And it was something that was kind of hurtful when I was in school because sometimes they separated us from the kids that learn at a normal pace. And I just remember all my life just growing up. It's like, man, Lord, this is a weakness. I mean, I'm out of it now, but back then it used to hurt. It used to stain my soul because I didn't never catch things like other people caught. And so this used to disturb me. I'm like, Lord, I want this weakness removed out of me. I want you to help me with this. But then there came a counselor along when I was in about 10th grade, her name was Miss Wilson. Remember her mom? And Miss Williams or Miss Wilson, one of the other. But she was a Christian woman, and she prayed with me in her office one time. And she said, you know what? God's power is on you. And she was like, you're going to do great things. She said, you don't have to learn this bill. You just learn differently than other kids. And that blessed my life. You know what I mean? With the help of her and my mother and many people, tutors, helped me to be able to believe that and then supersede what other people didn't think I can do by believing not the deception but believing the truth about what God said about me. And I remember we was going through this situation where I wanted to take aviation and this was the hardest program in Missouri high school because it was a college program in high school. So your sophomore year, you began college. And this was like, okay, I want to do this. And I remember going down to the aviation program, and the guy said, you know what? Nobody from resource class, that's what we in, resource class has ever went through aviation within 20 years or whatever. It just can't happen. You're wasting your time. You don't do it. And that kind of hurt me. That kind of stung me. And I went back to Ms. Williams, my counselor. She said, you gonna do it. You gonna go through this class. You know, and my mama was in agreement with it. I was kind of happy. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. And you know what? If I would have believed a lie of what God said about me, about how I couldn't finish that aviation, I would have been stuck believing. And I started learning something. Even if I'm trying to feel the pain of how I felt, I can't even feel that pain no more because I don't believe it. You know what I mean? I'm trying to feel how I felt. I'm trying to go back and see. But when the devil is a lie, he is a lie for real. But when, back then when it was feel like it was real, that's when the pain was agonizing my heart. You see what I'm saying? The devil is a liar in every situation. He always trying to separate you by saying, guess what? Look at your weakness. You can't do this. You can't do this. But God always have people in place to say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. The devil is a lie. Yes, you can. And I will be backing you. When I walked out that FAA class with my certificate, that teacher couldn't believe me. He said, I've never seen no more resource class graduate. And license, yes. I have my license on fixing my airplane. Amen. And so, you know what? Ever since that day, I was like, you know what? Whatever God you want me to do is yours. So I wanted to go fly airplanes. And you know what? God didn't give me the grace to do that. He gave me the grace to do this. And I was like, Lord, why do I go through that situation for? If you don't want me to do this. And he said, I want you to know that nothing can stop me when my grace is upon you. He said, I want you to remember this for the rest of your life. This was a season for me to learn something. That no matter what you're in, no matter how many people separate you from the truth, that separation can't separate you from my grace. And that's the story of Jesus. When Jesus walked around, there were leprosy. There were people where the leprosy that was back in Jesus' day, if a person with leprosy tried to walk towards you, they would take stones and try to throw them at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't want nothing a part of you. But Jesus was the only person that was able to come and touch the leper. Can you imagine you can't have contact with no human flesh? You know how cold your heart gets when that happens? When nobody can even give you a hug? But then Jesus comes in town, he is able to touch you when nobody ever wanted to touch you. And when I say touch, I'm talking about touching your heart. And that's what Jesus does. The story of the leprosy is quite mind-blowing because this is what a lot of people go through today. They get isolated from who Jesus really is, amen? In Luke 17 and 11, it says, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that had lepers, which stood afar off. And they couldn't go close to people because they had to stand afar off, amen. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face. That's kind of how we was in worship today, amen. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the one? I mean, where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. The message of this message is called, God wants to make us whole. Amen. Those 9 people walked away, not acknowledging something, that it was only because of the power of God and not of themselves. But one came back and thanked him and said, you know what? I appreciate what you just did, Jesus. I love what you just did. I acknowledge this. Who made the 9 go back and only one come? Well, actually, this was a Samaritan. That means that the Jews were the only ones that were supposed to really come to Jesus. But the Samaritans were the outsiders. They knew that they didn't supposed to have this, but they got it anyway.
Okay.
You woke up this morning. You thought you supposed to woke up.
Yeah.
But guess what? When you look at Jesus' mercy, it's his mercy that's bringing newness every day. Every day you breathe, it's a miracle going on.
Yes, sir.
It's that some people realize and some people don't. And God says, the people that really catch his grace, say this out of their mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. People that don't recognize it, just gonna keep walking. Ain't no, this is normal. Ain't nothing changed, Mother Webb. No. Every time I see you, I see a new fresh wind of grace, a power that I can meet. I needed a friend when I didn't have a friend. I needed a tutor when I didn't have a tutor. I needed a relationship when I didn't have a relationship. And God was it every single time. Like you said, you may see it come through a human being, but only God gives the perfect gift. If you see someone that is blessing you, guess who it come from? It came from him. I thank God for this country at times. You know, one time me and Keisha went to Tijuana, Mexico, and it was some people over there that didn't have all the stuff that we got. You know, you had to pay for toilet paper. You know, as soon as I got off into the land, you know, it was a lot of kids that was coming towards us, you know, saying, dollar, dollar, dollar. I was like, I can't give all that money. But you know, my heart is full of, my heart is full of compassion. They told us not to give our money, actually, you know, but I can't resist, you know. The compassion's in, you just got it, you know. So I just gave a couple dollars out, but I kind of ran out, and they still was coming and surprising. I was like, God, that's a deal. But I was looking at the eyes, the kids. I was like, man, how much God loves them. And as I was walking through the land, I remember they said, don't drink any water there. Don't eat any food over there. I'm like, oh my God, I'm ready to go back to the United States. And when I went back, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for this land. But something else that I realized over there, they were close-knit. They family-knit. You know what? I started recognizing they were whole. So, you know, a lot of them that I said, I'm not saying everybody. And then I started redefining what wholeness means. Wholeness don't mean that you got everything, but you realize that there's a lover that has everything and he cares for you. If you think that you need everything to be whole, you won't be whole.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Come on, okay. Come on.
Wholeness means I've got Jesus and Jesus got me. He is holding on to me right now. His love, his compassion, his gracefulness. Every weakness, every disease, everything that's not perfect, God says, I got you. I got somebody for that. I got somebody for that. Oh yeah, this depletion right here, I got somebody for that. It says when the scales of our eyes waking up to this truth, we get to walk in it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, even when I think I told you about the story about Miss Burton, when I used to work for EMT, a lady that had her leg amputated, and I remember I used to pray for her, and I'm like, God gonna grow you back a new leg, Miss Burton. And he's like, amen, praise God. And I used to drive her to dialysis every other day, and I used to pray, you know, for a new kidney for her, because I've seen someone give somebody else a new kidney, and God actually restored people. I was like, come on, Miss Burton, we don't believe. And she used to sing her praise every morning when I used to drop her off. I mean, we used to have a good old time in the Lord every morning. And I just remember one time I prayed for her, and I was almost weeping. I was like, Miss Burton, I'm going to pray that you get better. You're going to get better. And I remember she had placed her hand on my shoulder one time. And she said, let me tell you something, son. I know God loves you. And I'm whole. And back then, I didn't know what she was really talking about. But now I do. She was saying, listen, I know your heart with me. I know you want all these things for me. And this is a good thing. This is not against the will of God. God wants us healed. God wants us prosper. But guess what? She was saying, I got the most important thing right here, right now, I know that God loves me. Her soul was whole. That's the reason why she was able to give thanks anymore. Her soul was completed. Her mind, her will, her emotion was able to give thanks with one leg. She was able to give thanks but not having all the money in the world. I've heard certain people say, if you ain't got $1 million, then you ain't got what God wants you to have. If you ain't got everything perfect in your life, you ain't got what God wants you to have. Let me tell you something. And this is, like I said, I preach a victorious life, Christian life, amen. I believe that every believer should have the best, amen.
Amen.
But the best is Jesus.
Come on, bro. Yes.
And any person that preaches any other message, you have to let that message be defined. You got to allow a person to preach to you the pure Christ. And that's all you allow a person to preach to you, amen. Everything else is just a club. Everything else is just something to isolate you from what he really wants you to have, and that's relationship with him. In 1 Timothy 6:3, it says, if any man teaches otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, what did he come to do? He come to trade in his sorrows for your pain. He came here to take, he says, he became sin so that we might become what? The righteousness of God. He took upon it so we can become right. So you call yourself right because he took your sin. This is what he wants you to minister to yourself. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness, if they are not preaching this, then it says that he is proud, not knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and stripes or words were coming envious strife, railing evilness, submissionness, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that what? Gain is what? Godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can't carry nothing out of it. What did you bring into this world? Nothing. What you gonna take up out of this world? Nothing. Only thing you got is your relationship with Jesus. I've counseled many people this week. Many people this week. And some people go, man, where did that wisdom come from? It came from a relationship with him. Man, where did this come from? It came from a relationship with him. It's continuing to point to him. That's what we should do. But as soon as we point to us and say, yeah, it's because I did this. No. Let's take it back. Well, it's because I went to school. But who told you to go to school? It's because I didn't know. Keep pointing to the lamb that was slain. This is, without this, man's heart gets evil, gets cold. Why don't you tie your own bootstrap up? I did it. No. God gave you the wisdom to do it. I pick up people every day and they can't do it. You know why? Because their brains are not functioning right. But God gives you everything. This is why we can rejoice in our weakness. Because in our weakness, he gives us strength in that weakness. Amen? That's the reason why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's a simple message. Okay, Jesus loves you. You believe in it. And that's it. How about you? What you about to do? Keep believing in this? Keep marinating my heart in this? Knowing that he loves me, knowing that he cares for me, knowing that he will never leave me nor forsake me, knowing that he is with me even to the end of the world. Even when Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, take away this weakness. I don't want this weakness. Lord said this, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, that's where my power is made strong. When I was going through counseling with Miss Williams and all the tutors that helped me out, you know what that did to me? It allowed me to be patient with the people that I counsel. It built a strength in me because if God can be patient with me, then he can be patient with somebody else. If he can love me in that type of way, I can't give it unless I got it ministered to me. That's where your misery becomes your ministry. Because he heals your heart, and now you want to heal somebody else's heart. But if I'm going about proud, acting like I got it, that's what that stuff, it stinks. It stinks in front of the sight of God, and it stinks in front of the sight of people. Only people that like that stuff are proud people.
Amen.
They look up to people like that. But people that know the truth, that Jesus is the only one that holds everything, they don't like that. The Bible says his children know his voice. When people come in here, they know real love. It's not a fake love.
Hey, how you doing? Fine, how are you?
No, no. We love you for real. We really love about what have your week been going through? Can I do something for you? That's real love. And that's the love that he has given towards us. That's the love that he says, listen, I don't just care about this situation. I care about your real life situations. Amen. I thought that God just loved me in church, but when I had to go to school, you know, I'm on my own. No, he even loves me then. He'll help pay those bills that you can't pay. He'll help you with your relationships. He'll help you with anything that you're going through. Because why? That's who he loves us. That's the message. His love makes me whole. If I think about every weakness in my life, without Jesus, I will be unwhole. But when I think about Jesus, and that song says, and what he does for me, when I think about the Lord and how he set me free, I can dance all night. Why? Because I'm a participator, amen? Don't just be on the sidelines when you're just looking at other people. No, listen. I thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. I thank you, Lord, for starting a new day, amen? His grace is sufficient for me. 2 Corinthians, it says that in 12, and he said unto thee, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your what? In your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities? What? Did he say glory in my infirmities? Who been glorying in their infirmities? I ain't gonna do that. That's not the victorious life, amen. That the power of Christ may rest upon my. Oh, come on now. How do you get the power of Christ? Realizing, yeah, I'm weak, but God is strong. Moses had a stuttering problem. Yeah, I know. But guess what? It don't matter about his great speech. He just needs the rod. The rod is God. It was God that divided that red sea. It was God that did it. Through him, it was God. It wasn't about Moses. And God got so upset with Moses because he says, listen, it's not about your weakness. Stop preaching your weakness. And start preaching me. He says, I am that I am. Not you are that you are. The message is, he is who he is. He is altogether merciful. He is altogether wonderful. He is the one that forgets about our sins and remembers them no more. He's the one that does not have consciousness of all your wrong mistakes that you think about every day and night. When you can't worry, guess what? That's one that's not worrying about you. He's loving you right here, right now. And you know what? Like I said last week, he's kissing the feet. He's kissing your feet over and over and over again. And your feet, they have all weaknesses. But he says, I'm a put some cocoa butter, my cocoa butter around it. Amen. I'm going to smooth that out. Because I love you. You have the accuser of a brother that come and lie to you like he lied to me. And say, you ain't going to do this. You ain't going to do this. You know what? You say, yeah, I can do this. But Christ can do this through me. And Revelation 12:9 says this. And the great dragon, that's the devil, was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which is accused them before our God day and night. I heard so many people now talking about the devil is a lie. I guess these new songs. But you know what? The devil is a liar. Anytime your emotions is oh, I don't feel good today. He's lying about something in there that she may not even be knowing about. He's always lying to you so you won't be made whole. He's saying, if you have more, then you can be more happy. Didn't that scripture say that? Thinking that some people thinking that gain is godliness, and then they throw out the truth. No, guess what? You have Jesus, so how does God look at you? He looks at you as he looks at him, as a new creature. Old things has passed away. Behold, he said, I have made everything new inside of you. So the thing about it is, who are we pointing to? Am I pointing to me or am I pointing to Jesus? Am I pointing to me and saying, now it's good to have a healthy evaluation and say, you know what? Where is my emotion at right now? What am I thinking on right now? Am I thinking on Jesus or am I thinking on myself? But after you judge that and say, okay, I got to get my mind on him because I got my mind on my stuff right now. That's good to do. But as you do that, as you point towards the land, guess what happens? He brings his grace on your weakness, and he takes those things that you are made weak in, and he brings his power on it. I preached it so many times where I had so many accidents when I was a kid in driving. The insurance people say, we don't even want you no more. Oh my God, you had so many wrecks. I remember seeing my car in ditches on the news. I'm sorry. That's what our weakness do. We don't want to talk about weakness. You know, shit, you know, but then he makes me, I received an award for my job the other day of excellent driving. I've been excellent driving service on my job for now. But other job for 3 years and now this job for 3 years. Amen. I just look at it, I go, wow, that's your grace, Lord, keeping me. And then I look at when I used to get in fights in elementary school. I mean, just, I used to terrorize those kids on the bus. They used to let them have it. You know, you say something to me, I was real big kid, you know, I was kind of insecure, and I'll just let you have it. But now, 10 years now, I've been teaching into the schools about not getting into fights with kids. God is paying me to do this. That's grace. That's grace in action. Everything that I'm weak in now, he's making strong. I had depression real bad. Some of y'all may already know before the newcomer, I had depression to a point where it was suicidal. I had to go to a psychologist because it was that bad. But now, I've been counseling other people. They've been on depression, man. They've been on this, and their depression is lift out. I'm thinking, like, Lord, all my infirmities, your power supersede all my infirmities. And that's exactly what the word of God said. He said, where sin abounds, there's much more grace that abounds. That's the reason why you don't have to be disqualified in your infirmities. Your infirmities qualifies you for a setup with Jesus. My God, even the great Hugh Faith, the Hall of Fame, I was looking at all these people. No, all y'all disqualified. I was looking at Samson, especially Samson's story. I'm looking at you failed 3 times with Delilah. You just got your hair cut off when you know you're so supposed to. And then he gets locked up with his eyes gouged out in front of the temple of all the what was the enemy back then called? The Hittites and all the people that was coming against David. He was locked up in the enemy's camp with all pillars around him. He was chained up. And he said, Lord, he said, I'll disgrace you, but this give me power and I can destroy all the enemy. He put all the enemies in one place. And Samson received power on there and destroyed every last one of them. This isolated them all. That was an abomination. He just tore them all up. And I'm thinking about all his weaknesses broke him there.
I tell you, you can't preach this anywhere.
All the things that he was ashamed of, I'm thinking like, man, you know that God don't want you to do this. You know God don't want you to do this. You know. And then it sets him up where he destroys all the enemy. Don't look at your weakness as your disqualification. Look at your weakness as God set you up to destroy a yoke in not your life, but many other people. See, we only think about the stuff that we want to accomplish. When God blesses us and destroys our weaknesses, what happens is He blesses many other people. It's not just about you. Your weakness is not just about you. It's about, guess what, God, when He shows up in your behalf, just like Solomon, guess what? It destroyed many other people that were getting killed by these people. Amen. Now I talk over 50,000 students how not to get into fights, about what to do when people come and approach you. I have seminars with them. And why is that? Because God wants to make a champion out of your weaknesses. Your weaknesses won't disqualify you before Him. It'll disqualify you before man. Man don't care about your weaknesses. You go, like I said, you go to a job interview, you got some interviewers in here, you better make sure you don't say nothing about your weaknesses. But you know what? God says, okay, Moses, I see you have a stuttering problem. I see you don't want to go back to Israel. Guess what? You are the most cadet for this job because you are guilty. You know it's not you. You know it's me. So come on in here, Moses. I'm going to have you lead all these people. That's how it is. And like I said, because we've been programmed by this world, we look at our weaknesses as, I don't even talk about it. You know what I mean? I don't even talk about the weaknesses. This is why the Bible says, who shall believe this report? Who's going to believe it? It's almost like, some people are like, I want to believe it, but I can't believe it. God says, guess what? I want you to believe this. It's real in my life. This is not something I just preach. I've seen God touch my weakness. Only thing I have to do is submit to His blood. Singing that song like Anthony's song today. Yes, Jesus loves me. But the Bible tells me so. That's what it's about right there.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's about right there. I look at every weakness, every single weakness. And you know what? Sometimes your life is developing like a camera. What's those pictures that you used to develop? You used to have to shake.
Polaroid
picture. You know what I mean? Sometimes you wiggle and you thought that was a head, but it was really a shoe and stuff. And your life is still developing. Amen? You may not even see how this weakness is going to be set up for your victory. But you keep trusting in God. Those that wait upon the Lord, He's going to renew your strength. Don't worry about it. Just keep placing your trust in Him. We used to sing a song, put your hands in the hands of the man who holds the water. Place your trust in Him. He's the one that's holding the waters right now. He's the one that holds your love right now. He's the only one that can touch the lives of the lepers. When nobody else want to touch that part of you, when nobody else, I used to have teachers that were so frustrated with me. They were like, I can't teach this boy no more. He just ain't going to get it. Guess what? That hurt. But there was somebody. Amen. That's somebody there. You know what? Everybody won't see. But God got somebody that will see. And He has a certain spirit that will see. And His name is Jesus. Receive Him right now. Amen. Everybody just put your hands up. Not put your hands, I'm sorry. Just close your eyes. And just repeat after me. Father God, I thank You for Your grace. In my weakness, Your grace stands. In my weakness, You are here, Jesus. I embrace Your love. I embrace Your grace. I embrace Your mercy. Today. In Jesus' name. I believe in You, Jesus. As my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.